Blog Talk Radio.
DMX, maybe? I'm not sure. Silk the Shocker was the one who said, make him say, na-na-na-na. Sorry, my mind is stuck in late 90s, early 2000s rap at the moment. How's everybody doing? Got a great show for you today. We have, I'm going to kick it off here by getting a little wonky, and we will discuss a major problem with corporate crime in America, namely, there's nobody fucking enforcing it. So we have a new report out today about that. We're going to talk about that right off the bat here. As we move along, we're going to be up and down all over the place. So we have the Fox News debate is happening tomorrow, the first Republican primary debate of the election season. For political junkies out there, it's awesome. I like how multiple people ask me, "Hey man, are you going to watch the debate?" No, I'm going to watch the fucking Home and Gardens Network. What? Do you know what I do for a living? Of course I'm going to watch the debates. I can't fucking wait. I'm looking forward to it. Going to be a lot of stupidity. So I'll discuss who's in the debate, and then I'll also show you classic old school secular talk clip of the former compilations that we did of, I think it was the last two Republican presidential debates, and like all the ridiculous shit that was said. For example, I'll just give you one right now. Rick Perry was asked if he has trouble sleeping at night because Texas executes the most people. And I think it was Brian Williams who asked him, like, do you ever, you know, wonder, hey, maybe one was innocent or this or that? And Rick Perry's like, no. I have no problem sleeping. I sleep like a baby. And the audience is like, yeah, death. All right, capital punishment. Yoo-hoo. So that's just one example, but there's so many. And then also Obama gives a speech about the Iran deal, and he was like, move, bitch, get out the way. Get out the way, bitch, get out the way. That's me summing up his message, and it was fucking awesome. We got John Boehner, who goes on the Golf Channel to do an interview that nobody watches, except me, because I saw like a little two-second clip of it, and that's the only person who watched any of it. And surprisingly, he kind of sort of takes a little bit of a jab at Rush Limbaugh. What the fuck? So we'll talk about that. And, geez, I got so much. Let me give you one more little teaser here. WorldNet Daily, which is without question the dumbest of all the right-wing websites, they caught Obama, guys. They got him. Pack it up. Go home. It's over. President Obama is apparently escorted by demons around the world. He hops on Air Force One, and he's like, man, you know, Michelle's here. The kids are here. I could really have a fuck. I wish we had a demon that could come with us. And then the demon came. I can't wait to show you that clip. Oh, this is hilarious. Okay. Let's get started here, and like I said, we'll start a little wonky, but then we'll make it more fun as we go along. Corporate crimes, really important story. The International Business Times is highlighting a major problem with corporate crime in America. They say, quote, federal prosecution of white-collar crime has hit a 20-year low, according to a new report on Department of Justice data. The analysis of thousands of records by Syracuse University shows a more than 36% decline in such prosecutions since the middle of the Clinton administration when the decline first began. All right, so let's pause here because this is kind of right in line with what we've been saying for a very long time, which is if you look at Ronald Reagan, so the early 1980s and onward, from then it's been a steady decline in terms of more and more deregulation, more and more tax cuts for the rich. And even the Democratic administrations that came post-Reagan are still really center-right. Some would argue they're just centrist, but that's really the debate you're having as to where they fall. It's either centrist or center-right, but they're all pro-establishment and they're all pro-corporation. So you have under Bill Clinton, okay, they in the first part of his time in office, okay, they did some crackdown on corporate criminals, but then as time went by, it was less and less. I mean, George W. Bush obviously didn't do it, and then even President Obama. I mean, he may be good in some other areas, and in fact, we'll talk about one of those areas later on in the show today. It's a different foreign policy issue where you give him some credit. It's not like he hasn't done anything good, but this is just a total, total blind spot, and it's an area where he's failed miserably and Eric Holder has failed miserably. 36% decline in white-collar prosecutions. And they go on to explain that's not because they're not committing crimes. Of course they're committing crimes. It's just there's no punishment. So they continue here. They say, underscoring that assertion is a recent study by researchers at George Mason University tracking the increased use of Special Justice Department agreements that allow corporations and often their executives to avoid being prosecuted. Before 2003, researchers found the Justice Department offered almost no such deals. The researchers report that from 2007 to 2011, 44% of cases were resolved through the deals, known as deferred prosecution agreements and non-prosecution agreements. In 2012, President Obama pledged to hold Wall Street accountable for financial misdeeds related to the financial crisis, but as financial industry donations flooded into Obama's reelection campaign, his Justice Department officials promoted policies that critics say embodied a too-big-to-jail doctrine for financial crime. So that's really interesting and that's really important. So the dodge that the Obama administration does is they say, well, we may not be prosecuting the criminals, these white-collar criminals, but we're getting a lot of deals where we find them and we give them a little slap on the wrist and then, oh, no harm, no foul, everything's taken care of. But the problem with that is you're not really disincentivizing them from doing the same kinds of corporate crimes in the future. Oftentimes these fines are so small for how large the corporations are that they make the profits back in a day. And sometimes, as we've reported in the past, they'll fine them and then they make the fine tax deductible. So it's effectively not even a fucking fine. So these what these really are tricks to make it look like, hey, we're doing something, don't get too mad at us here. But the reality is, as they said in the article, that what's actually happening is now that we have unlimited money in the political system, even the Democrats, who are supposed to be tougher on Wall Street and tougher on corporations, even they're like, well, they gave us a lot of money, so we can't crack down on them too hard. And then also, there's other aspects to this as well. I mean, they give the argument that this will hurt the economy too much if we're too hard on them. That's the idea of too big to fail. So they tell people, well, I mean, sure, in a perfect world where we're actually doing justice, we would, you know, let some of these Wall Street businesses fail. We would prosecute the CEOs and put them in jail and do this and that. But, hey, come on now, be an adult. Don't be a child. Let's understand that there are unintended consequences to doing that, and it would have ripple effects throughout the rest of the economy, and you can't really crack down on them because then it, you know, might hurt the middle class. They'll give an argument like that. But, of course, that's ridiculous and that's untrue because what the big banks are doing already is hurting the middle class. I mean, think about it, man. HSBC, for example. HSBC laundered money for Al-Qaeda, laundered money for the Iranian government when there were still sanctions and they weren't allowed to do that, laundered money for drug cartels in Mexico, and they nobody went to jail, nobody was got a serious punishment. The worst that happened was a little slap on the wrist here or there, a little fine, and then everybody moves along as if nothing happened. No, those crimes are so egregious that you can't just overlook them, and you can't just say, well, it may have ripple effects if we do something. So what? The whole idea of capitalism is supposed to be that if, you know, they do something bad or they do something wrong or they violate a law or they aren't surviving in a marketplace, well, then they fail. You know, whatever happened to that old idea, which conservatives and liberals could agree upon, where, you know, if you have these hedge funds, for example, or investment banks, and they make risky investments, and they go belly up, okay, fuck you, you went belly up. The government shouldn't bail you out any more than they should bail out the dry cleaner at the corner because they might not be making profit right now, or the deli that you usually go to. If they go out of business, government's not going to rush in to save them. So whether they're violating a law, you know, or they're just failing in a free marketplace, there are some instances where they should fail or where there should be a realignment of priorities and where there should be CEOs and executives and people like that who go to fucking prison. But we're at a point now where that's irrelevant. They don't allow that to happen anymore. It's something that's unthinkable. They're more likely to put somebody in jail if they rob $12.75 from a convenience store than they are if somebody's knowingly laundering money for Al-Qaeda. That shows you how fucked up our priorities are, and that shows you how even under Democratic administrations, we've set up a system which has horrible priorities, and they don't really care about enforcing the law if the people that are violating the law are in that elite class. Okay. Now, lighten it up a little bit and talk about the Republican primary. I mean, I should say their primary debate, to be specific. So the roster has been released for the first Republican primary debate of 2016. It'll, of course, be on Fox News. And there's some controversy over the picks already. So in the main event, in the primetime debate, which is the one that everybody's looking forward to, there's going to be Donald Trump, who's number one in virtually every single poll, which is really sad, but nonetheless, it's the reality. It's going to be Trump, Jeb Bush, Scott Walker, Mike Huckabee, Ben Carson, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Rand Paul, Chris Christie, and John Kasich. And then they're also going to have a kids' table debate, an earlier debate, and that includes everybody else. So it'll be Rick Perry, Rick Santorum, Bobby Jindal, Carly Fiorina, Lindsey Graham, George Pataki, and Jim Gilmore. Jim Gilmore is somebody, even his family doesn't know who the fuck he is. His wife is like, "You're running for president? I didn't fucking know anything about this. What's happening?" His mom is like, "I'm not voting for him. Who knows who he is? I don't even know who the fuck he is." It's super, super irrelevant. Now, Roger Ailes said that the picks were going to be done based off of polling. But, of course, there's 976 polls out there, so which polls? You know, he was waiting until the last minute to pick whichever one he liked the most. But guys like John Kasich and Ben Carson didn't really get in based on any polls. And guys like Santorum and Perry are definitely more popular than those guys, even though obviously we, disagree with all of them, and we may think that Perry and Santorum are among the most unreasonable people in the primary. I think that's totally true. But the reality is John Kasich did not beat these guys in any polls. Definitely not in a majority of the polls. Perry and Santorum definitely have more support than Ben Carson and John Kasich. So what happened is Roger Ailes really just picked whoever he wanted to pick. There's no doubt that he was just like, okay, I want this person, this person, this person, this person, this person, and fuck everybody else. I mean, a sitting senator, Lindsey Graham, he's like, yeah, fuck that guy. Second tier, he's going to be in the earlier debate. Now, granted, nobody's voting for Lindsey Graham, that's clear, so maybe he deserves to be in the second tier. But bottom line, it really is handpicked by Roger Ailes, and if you think Fox News is abiding by some objective standard, I have a bridge to sell you. But in celebration of this first debate, I decided I'm going to play for you guys a compilation of the dumbest Republican debate moments from the last two debates. Enjoy.
Your state has executed 234 death row inmates, more than any other governor in modern times. Have you struggled to sleep at night with the idea that any one of those might have been innocent?
No, sir, I've never struggled with that at all.
My advice to him would have a major medical policy, but not before.
But he doesn't have that. He doesn't have it, and he needs intensive care for 6 months. Who pays?
That's what freedom is all about, taking your own risk. This whole idea that you have to prepare and take care of everybody.
But, Congressman, Are you saying that society should just let him die?
No.
Some people have said we had a closed Guantanamo. My view is we had a double Guantanamo.
Against the Second Amendment before he was for the Second Amendment? Was it was before he was before these social programs from the standpoint of he was for standing up for Roe versus Wade before he was against Roe versus Wade? He was for Race to the Top. He's for Obamacare, and now he's against it.
You recently said black Americans should demand jobs, not food stamps. You also said poor kids lack a strong work ethic and proposed having them work as janitors in their schools. Can't you see that this is viewed at a minimum as insulting to all Americans, but particularly to black Americans?
No, I don't see that.
Governor Thompson, same theme. If a private employer finds homosexuality immoral, should he be allowed to fire a gay worker?
I think that is left up to the individual business. I really sincerely believe that that is an issue that business people have got to make their own determination as to whether or not they should be.
So the answer is yes.
Yes.
Do you believe in evolution? Yes. I'm curious, is there anybody on the stage that does not agree in believe in evolution?
Yeah.
Three of them, by the way. Three of them are holding up their hands. Hilarious. No, in many ways, they make it too easy for the Democrats in the general election. You know, it's certainly true that in the midterm elections, the Republican base gets out there to vote much more than the Democratic base does. And that's unfortunate. You know, the Democrats should get their shit together and should fire up the base more for the midterm elections. But for a general election, when we're talking about somebody running for president of the United States, I think a lot of people who wouldn't even necessarily describe themselves as Democrats, they might say, hey, I'm independent or whatever, they look at the positions that the Republicans take on different issues and they just go, oh, come on, really? Is that they're so deep in their own bubble, and it's an echo chamber. They're talking to like-minded people who, in all seriousness, are just not that bright and are super ignorant and have terrible ideas. And so when the rest of the country looks at that and the rest of the world looks at that, they're just like, oh, my goodness, is this real life? This feels like the fucking Twilight Zone. I mean, look at that. Just take the Rick Perry, the beginning with Rick Perry when he's asked about the death penalty. You know, Rick, Texas executes more people than anywhere else, and implicit in that is like, do you ever worry that, hey, we might have gotten the wrong person once or twice or something like that? No. No, I don't. I sleep like a baby, actually. Thank you very much. But see, that's not a human reaction, even if you're for the death penalty. Isn't that a question, and isn't that an issue where you can say, I'm for it in principle. I think the worst people, if they're guilty, should definitely get it. But we have all these different checks and balances set up to try to make sure that we never get the wrong people. And, yeah, if we were to get the wrong person, then I absolutely would be distraught by it. But at the moment, I don't think we have. Or yada, yada. There wasn't even, like, an attempt to smooth over the barbarism. It was like, no. Yay, death. And the audience is like, oh, yeah, kill people, right on, right on, right on. Say something about NASCAR, and then I'll beat off. Then Ron Paul, the classic Ron Paul moment. This is one of those moments that's a defining moment for how people look at the Republican base. When Wolf Blitzer's like, okay, let's say somebody doesn't have health insurance, and they get in a fucking accident, and they're in a coma or something, and they need surgery. What should be done? He's like, well, you should have gotten insurance, individual liberty, man. And when he asks, well, okay, but what do you do when he's in a coma? Should society let him die? Now, to be fair to Ron Paul, he didn't say, absolutely no. But the audience was like, yes! Oh! Death! Death, yes! I'm sensing a theme here. These guys seem to love death. Mitt Romney with Double Gitmo, another classic moment. Black kids should be janitors. Juan Williams asking Newt Gingrich about something he had said previously. Like, hey, you know, you have this idea where poor kids should clean the toilets of the rich kids, and then, hey, they'll get work experience, and it'll teach them values, and don't you think it's a little insulting to basically say that the black kids should be the janitors for the rich white kids? No, I don't think that's insulting. Blacks should know their goddamn place. And the audience is like, oh, racism! I love it! Yes, more racism! I want to bathe in racism. Newt, come jerk me off. So sad, man. It's so sad to watch that. When you get to it, what really illuminates it all and puts it in perspective was the last part, where it's a very simple question, where the rest of the world, we have our answers. Hey, do you believe in evolution? And what do they say? Three of them. It's funny how, you know, McCain, credit to McCain, as Bill Maher would say, he's a potty-trained Republican. He was like, yes, I believe in it. But you notice that even, you know, three people put their hands up saying, I don't believe in evolution. But even the other guys were looking around like, what do I do here? What's politically convenient? So even for the ones who believe in it, they were like fighting the urge to join in and say, I don't believe in it. So when you're pulled in that direction because of the base of your party, that shows that your base is fucked up and you're fucked up. Because what you're doing is, you know that your natural inclination and the default position is the unscientific position and the dumb position, which really speaks to the rest of Republican ideology. Okay. All right, one more here. We'll do the President Obama story. Actually, should I hold off on that? I'm going to hold off on that, and I'm going to do... Let's go to Jeb Bush. Yeah, let's do the Jeb Bush story. Because this can fit in 5 minutes or so. Whereas the Obama one might take a little bit longer. Jeb Bush spoke at a Southern Baptist conference, and he shoved his foot in his mouth yet again.
There was a vote that failed in the United States Senate yesterday to defund Planned Parenthood. Would you think that we have a continuing resolution coming up to fund the government, given the atrocity of these children being destroyed with such callous disregard for their lives? Shouldn't we make that an issue and say, not one more red cent to Planned Parenthood?
We should, and the next president should defund Planned Parenthood.
Very straightforward. A room full of Baptists loves it, as you can see there. But what he didn't realize, because he's not that bright, is that the rest of the country, when they hear that, they go, oh my God, he really is trying to take us back to 1950. Elizabeth Warren caught a lot of shit because the other day she gave a speech on the Senate floor saying, the Republicans want to take us back to 1950. And Jeb Bush came out here and verified that. He's like, yes, indeed, that's exactly what I would like to do. Defund Planned Parenthood. Yahoo! Yeah! It's so silly how he doesn't understand, he doesn't realize this is the age of the internet, and everybody can hear what you're saying. In his mind, he thinks that it's only the 13,000 Baptist preachers in front of him that could hear him, so he's going to say whatever the fuck they want to hear. So later, he actually had to come out and backpedal, and I'll get to that in a second. But he goes on to say, you could take dollar for dollar, although I'm not sure we need $500 million for women's health issues, but if you took dollar for dollar, there are many extraordinary fine community health organizations that exist to provide quality care for women on a wide variety of health issues. But abortion should not be funded by the government. Now, what's he missing? Well, number one, only 97% of Planned Parenthood services aren't abortion. That's a fact. Republicans just seem to, across the board, not know this. And number two, even when Planned Parenthood is providing abortion services in 3% of cases, it's not government-funded, Huffington Post explains here. They say, quote, the Hyde Amendment, routinely attached to congressional spending measures, already prohibits federal funding for abortions, except in cases of incest, rape, or medical emergency. So they argue against a policy that does not exist. But again, Republican ignorance knows no bounds, because he's convinced that that's the case when it's not the case. So what did Bush do in response to this when there was a backlash when this clip got out there? He went into panic mode. quote, with regards to women's health funding broadly, I misspoke. Oh, I know, you always misspoke after the fact when people call you out on your horseshit. It's not like, hey, yeah, I really believe that, but you caught me and I'm a dick. No, it's, I misspoke! I meant to say I love Planned Parenthood, even though I said the exact opposite. He says, I misspoke, as there are countless community health centers, rural clinics, and other women's health organizations that need to be fully funded. They provide critical services to all, but particularly low-income women who don't have the access they need. Okay. I don't believe you, asshole. I think if slash when you were to become president of the United States, you would definitely go after funding for Planned Parenthood. If a bill got to your desk that defunded Planned Parenthood, I think you would sign it. I think what you're trying to do is walk that political line now and say, hey, I want to appease the overwhelming majority of the country that's for Planned Parenthood and for these services, but I also want to be true to my base who's against it. So what are you doing? You're pulling a classic Mitt Romney. You say one thing in a crystal clear way, and then you come out and say, ah, did I say it in a crystal clear way? I meant the opposite of what I said. He's a classic sleazy politician. And by the way, understand that if you defund Planned Parenthood, all of the other things that Republicans say they care about gets worse. STD rates will shoot up. Out-of-wedlock births will shoot up. All these societal problems that these guys focus on, and they say, oh, that's the problem. In the black community, out-of-wedlock births, that's the problem. Oh, STD transmissions, that's a problem. All those things will get worse if you defund Planned Parenthood. So what do you want to do? You want to live in fantasy land. And fantasy land is, let's take away all the free clinics. Let's take away sex education. Let's take away all the preventative measures. And then even with taking those away, let's also say, berate people and say, oh, don't have out-of-wedlock children. Don't get diseases. Don't have sex at all. Deny human nature completely. What's the Republican plan? Who said it recently? They said, in my day, we used to put aspirin between our legs, which means don't fuck. Put the aspirin between your legs and just disregard your sex drive, which is so easy to do when you're a teenager. So this is what they want. They want to live in fantasy land. Get rid of Planned Parenthood. Get rid of sex education. Get rid of the condom. Get rid of the pill. Get rid of IUDs. Get rid of all this stuff. And let's magically also have the out-of-wedlock birth rate decline, abortion rate decline, and STD rates decline. You can't have that because that's not the real world that we live in. That would be contradictory. The policies that you want, the ideas you want, are contradictory. But then again, I never expected somebody like Jeb Bush to be good in the logic department. Take a break. When we come back, Obama gives a speech on the Iran deal, and he knocks it out of the park. Then we'll get to John Boehner and Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck. All right, stay right there, guys. We'll be right back.
Your seat pot. My live niggas lit up the reefer. Trunk in the car, we got the street sweeper. Don't start none, won't be none. No reason for your man to panic. You don't want to see no ambulance. Knock a pimp drink down in his pimp cup. That's the way you get Timberland up. Let the music diffuse all the tension. Ball of convention, free admission. Hustlers, dealers, and killers can move swift. Girls get close, you can feel where the tool kept. All my just coming home, he's paroling. Get money, leave the beef alone slowly. Get out my face, you people so phony. Pull out my waist, the eagle so phony. Stay shooting. I made you look. You a slave to a page in my rhyme book. Get big money, trade boy, your time's up. With them gangsters, with them dimes at. Stay shooting. I made you look. You a slave to a page in my rhyme book. Get big money, playboy, your time's up. Where them gangsters at? Where them dimes at?
All right, son of a bitch, we're back, and here we go with Obama's speech. Obama gave a speech rallying support for the Iran nuclear deal, and I think it's honestly one of the best speeches that he's ever given. I think he wrote it, which is not the case for a lot of the other speeches, and I think he stopped playing around with Netanyahu and the Republicans, so let's watch a piece of it here.
In fact, they argue that surgical strikes against Iran facilities will be quick and painless. But if we learn anything from the last decade, it's that wars in general and wars in the Middle East in particular are anything but simple.
Perfect. nailed it. In all seriousness, it's like, you know, a progressive blogger wrote it for him and just laid out the facts and said, hey, how about you go point by point and you attack every single argument that they've made? And that's exactly what he did. I obviously didn't have time to show you the entire speech or to show you a clip much longer than this, but he actually outlines, like, here are the arguments that we've seen so far against the deal. And he goes one by one, and he just explains what they are, no strawmanning whatsoever, and then just knocks them down. And that's exactly how you're supposed to do it, and you're supposed to be aggressive, and you're supposed to make your case, and you should make it appear like an issue that's not debatable, because it's not debatable. What is the alternative? Obama's right when he says, make no mistake about it, these other guys want war. That's what they want. The whole purpose, he says this at 1.2, he's like, the whole purpose of putting the sanctions on in the first place was to eventually and inevitably get them to sit down at the table to agree that they do not want and they will not ever get nuclear weapons, and that's exactly what we got here. What the fuck is your end goal? What kind of game are you playing if you're still in favor of keeping the sanctions on? Are the sanctions the goal in and of themselves? So in other words, you're just saying, hey, I want the people of Iran to suffer endlessly because fuck Iranians. Is that what your argument is? And then he even goes on to explain, they say, hey, we want a better deal. That's what this is all about. And Obama's like, what kind of a fucking fantasy world do you live in where it's that simple in the process of negotiating? Better deal. We want a better deal. And what do they mean when they say we want a better deal? We want Iran to have no nuclear facilities in any way, shape, or form. And what's the reality about that? That's actually against international law. The U.S. doesn't have the authority to go in there and say, hey, for scientific reasons you can't enrich uranium, and for power for your power grid you can't enrich uranium. We don't have the right to do that. But also, let's be clear, that's all they can do under the deal anyway, is they have hard caps on their uranium enrichment. So all they can enrich for is for research and for power for their power grid. And we have 24/7 inspections. The IAEA gets to inspect everything. And it's a 15 years this deal is in place. So to say it's not a good enough deal, well, what the fuck do you want? But that's the point. There's nothing that will satiate them, whether it's the Republicans or whether it's Netanyahu. Iran could come out tomorrow and say, okay, we decided we don't want to have any nuclear facilities, even for scientific research, even for power for our power grid. Do you think that that would stop Netanyahu from being aggressive and being a warmonger? Do you think that would stop people like Louis fucking Gohmert or Duncan Hunter, for example, who said that we should nuke Iran just to send them a message? You think they'd go, oh, well, you just gave us everything we wanted. We now give up. No, they'd still be using the same talking points. Oh, well, we don't believe them. We think that they put their nuclear plants underground. And either way, we should attack. Let's attack, 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 attack. So I've said this before, but if the Democrats in America are on the right page and they want to do a peace deal, and the official stated position of the Iranian government is that we want to do a peace deal, and we signed on to the peace deal. That's exactly what fucking happened. So the Iranian government is for it. The Democrats in America are for it. And the only people who are against a peace deal are the Republicans in America and Netanyahu and Likud and the further right-wing parties in Israel. Who's really the bad guy? Now, I mean that. On this issue, who's really the bad guy? And Obama's being crystal clear and being accurate when he says the rest of the world is like, what the fuck? How can anybody oppose this? But Netanyahu and the Republicans are like, oh, we still oppose it. And listen to Obama, man. He's saying, hey, assholes, I've ordered one form or another of a military strike in 7 countries. I'm not some kind of dove. And you guys know that pisses me off. I wish he didn't do interventions in that many countries. That's horrible. I disagree with that. But what he's saying is, don't you fucking question my hawkishness. Most establishment Democrats today, unfortunately, are way too hawkish. So what he's saying is, I'm not some sort of, you know, non-interventionist dove, but I'm also not a crazy person. I also don't want to unnecessarily destabilize the region even more when our main enemy in the region is supposed to be ISIS. And who's a bulwark against ISIS right now, you clowns? The Shias. So Iran, the Shia militias, obviously the Kurds too, but the Shias are one of the biggest forces in the region that's fighting ISIS. But see, the thing is, the Republicans in America don't even know that, and Netanyahu doesn't give a fuck, because in Netanyahu's mind, they're all the same. He said it. He said, the Shia militias or Iran is just as bad as ISIS. He said Hamas is ISIS. Meanwhile, Hamas is also fighting ISIS. I mean, to him, they're all the same, so they are the warmongers. Netanyahu is the warmongers, is a warmonger. The Republicans in America are the warmongers. And I don't think he's necessarily wrong when he says this is the strongest non-proliferation agreement ever negotiated. Not because I know all the other agreements negotiated, but I do know that we almost got 100% of what we wanted. And all we have to do is lift the sanctions, which means we give them back some of their own money after they prove that they're agreeing to the deal and they're meeting the provisions. I mean, how can you get any better than that? And I have to admit, I really do like the fact that he finally took a little jab at Israel. Come on, man. How unreasonable can they be? We're talking about we funded Iron Dome for Netanyahu and for Israel. We give them billions of dollars a year, and they do whatever they want with it. Mostly they just buy our weapons, and it's part of the military-industrial complex, and the cycle goes round and round and round. But in essence, they get whatever the fuck they want. I mean, Obama even offered more money to them after the deal. He said to Netanyahu, this makes you more safe, but if you want even more money, here's more money. Just shut the fuck up. So time and time and time again, we've backed them up. In the latest incursion into Gaza, which shouldn't have happened, where Netanyahu killed 75% civilians and did all kinds of war crimes, the U.S. government backed him up. We've done everything they've wanted, things I'm not in support of. We've gone way too far in our overt, over-the-top support of anything they do. But what does Netanyahu do whenever he gets an opportunity? He spits right in Obama's eye. I'm going to oppose this deal because I'm the one that wants war with Iran. So I like that Obama finally called him out by name. And Obama, at another point in the speech, he said, do you guys not know that Iran is fighting ISIS? How silly are you? So I think this is one of his best speeches. I really do think he wrote it. I think he told the advisors to piss off. And Obama, I just wish you were doing this your first year in office, or you started doing it your second year in office or whatever. Because once you stop playing that stupid bullshit centrist game of, oh, I'm going to try to make everybody like me. Once you understand that some people just fucking hate you and they're never going to like you no matter what you do. Once you understood that, which was pretty early on in the first term, you should have said, fuck it, gloves are coming off, I'm going balls to the wall here. But he's very soft in his first term. He's been more aggressive here in his second term. He's done some fantastic things, the Cuba deal, the Iran deal, the immigration executive orders and things like that. I'm not taking anything away from the positive things that he's done in his second term, but I would have liked to see a lot more of this because I think it's going to be effective. I think that doing this speech, and by the way, you should give 8 more exactly like it, if you continue to hammer that message home and make it so that the media has to cover you when you talk about it, there's only upsides to that, man. It's going to be you with straight talk to the American people versus a propaganda campaign which is waged by advertisers on fucking Twitter and YouTube where they make bombastic, ridiculous claims. Unfortunately, the advertising campaign can be somewhat effective, but if the President of the United States hammers the message home time and time again and keeps repeating it and saying this is not a debatable issue, then the American people will say, oh, of course, we got to be with Obama. What's the alternative? The alternative is war to this. Do we want to have another war? So just keep hammering that message home because it's true, and eventually we will win. In politics, strength wins. Okay, next. Let's go to John Boehner. John Boehner sat down for an interview with the Golf Channel and David Faraday, who's the host of the show over there, and he was asked about increased polarization in American politics. Here's his answer.
Is there less bipartisanship than there used to be?
Yeah, I do think there is less than there used to be, and it's primarily because if you've looked at what's happened over the last 20 years, the whole media world and communications world has changed. 20 years ago, when we won the first Republican majority in 40 years, there was one radio talk show host that nobody had ever heard of. There was one cable news channel that just did news. And you look at today, you've got hundreds of radio talk show hosts all trying to outdo themselves, right, going further right and further right and further right. You've got all these cable news channels, and all they do is politics. And then you've got every blog and Facebook, Twitter, and all of these mediums. And what's happening is the American people are getting more information about their government than they ever got before. And it's tending to either push or pull people into one of two camps, trying to find common ground between the left and the right is more difficult. There's no question about it. If I get on to see President Obama, the right begins to wonder what I'm up to. The left begins to wonder what the president's up to. You know, the president's suggested, hey, do you think it's too much trouble if we play golf again? And I have to look at him and say, yes. Because everybody gets
bent out of shape.
Bent out of shape, worried about what we're up to.
So that's interesting because he's kind of blaming Rush Limbaugh there. He took a little jab at him. He's like, 20 years ago there was one radio host and nobody knew who he was. But then after him, it's become increasingly polarized. And he said, you have hosts that are going further and further and further right. It's kind of amazing to hear John Boehner say that he thinks that, you know, conservative media. Usually if you talk to conservatives about conservative media, what will they say? Ha-ha, they're the only one telling the truth. Oh, yeah, they tell like it is. Fox News is awesome. But John Boehner's like, actually, they keep running further and further and further right. So you got to give him a little bit of credit there for admitting that the polarization is happening on the right when it comes to the media. And is it accurate to kind of blame Rush for contributing to this and even starting it in many respects? Yes, I think that's half true. I think that right-wing media has moved further and further right. I think that has influenced many idiots in the country who then want to run for office, and they have no idea how to govern, and they don't have intelligent ideas about how to run the country or what kind of policies to implement. So I do think that that has increased the problem. But here's what else increases the problem. You. Sorry, John Boehner, but, you know, you're part and parcel of the problem here. It's a sad state of affairs when John Boehner has to lament that there are people way to the right of him. Because he's out there on the fucking fringe, dog. I mean, this reminds me of, like, Netanyahu. Some people say, well, come on, I mean, Netanyahu, and if you look at Israeli politics, he's actually somewhat moderate. He's, like, center-right, you know? He's not out there on the fringe. And that's true. But it's sad that that's true. There's a whole party to the right of Netanyahu called the Jewish Home Party, where Netanyahu, every once in a while, he at least pretends to be against the settlements. The Jewish Home Party's like, no, just kill all the Palestinians. Take all the land. In fact, quite literally, Ayelet Shaked, she reposted a long essay about how all the Palestinians are the enemy not too long ago. So that it just shows how fucked up the spectrum is when a guy like Netanyahu is viewed as kind of moderate and a guy like John Boehner is viewed as kind of moderate. John Boehner's the guy who spearheaded the efforts to try to repeal Obamacare 54 times. 54 times. And you're going to talk about how other people are extremists? You're also pretty fucking extreme, dude. Oh, what, because you want to play golf with President Obama and you don't think he's a Kenyan Muslim? That means that I'm supposed to think you're reasonable? No, you're still incredibly unreasonable. But the most important aspect of the conversation here is you have Democrats and Republicans who actually engage in far too much bipartisanship. And what I mean by that is whenever they agree, which is often, they agree on fucking over the American people. Because usually when they agree, why are they agreeing? Because corporations tell them to agree. Wall Street tells them to agree. Lobbyists tell them to agree. Lobbyists give them a tremendous amount of money, and they want tax cuts, and the Democrats and the Republicans get together and go, yes, we can agree on one thing, cut the taxes for the rich, cut the corporate tax rate, and outsource more jobs and do more so-called free trade deals. So that's not even necessarily the biggest problem. Yes, there is quite a bit of, increased hatred and polarization in politics, but you only blame the Republicans for that because they've moved to the right and the Democrats have followed them. But sometimes they even agree too much, and when they agree too much, it's because they're listening to the corporations, and it all comes back to money and politics. And John Boehner is a loyal servant of the corporations. So when he gets mad at a guy like Rush Limbaugh, he's getting mad at Rush Limbaugh because he's thinking, come on, Rush. I mean, I'm supposed to only listen to these corporations here, and you're screaming at me to do shit on, like, abortion and gay marriage. I don't really give a fuck about that stuff. Just let me listen to my corporate overlords. That's what this really comes down to, and that's the actual message. Okay. Now, we move on to the Jade Helm military exercise. I'm sure some of you guys have heard of this, if not most of you at this point. But we have some scary news to report on this, and no, not because Alex Jones is right, because he's not. So the Jade Helm military training exercise is currently going on. It happens in multiple states. And there's been some unsettling reactions to it. So Raw Story reports that there were two shooting incidents where civilians are apparently threatening troops. They say, quote, for the second time this week, a gunman opened fire at Camp Shelby, a military training center that is part of the Jade Helm 15 training exercises. A man matching the same description as Tuesday's shooter, white and driving a red or maroon pickup truck, opened fire around 8 a.m. on Tuesday morning. A gunman with the same description fired at two soldiers training at Camp Shelby. The truck seen Tuesday had the words Broken Arrow on the windshield, according to the AP. Broken Arrow is a military code requesting help when being overrun by enemy forces. So I guess the idea there is this American thinks that the American military is enemy forces, and they're being overrun by them, even though all they're doing is a training exercise. So in his paranoia and hysteria, he decided to fire at these people. Now, thankfully, I haven't seen reports of anybody actually being killed or hurt by this. I don't know if this guy is just firing warning shots or he's a terrible shot or whatever the case is, but clearly this is not good news. But that's not even the scariest part, because get this, quote, three men were arrested in Gaston County, North Carolina, after allegedly amassing an arsenal and making their own bombs out of fear that the government was about to enact martial law. So here we have the true believers, the true Kool-Aid drinkers. These guys had Kevlar helmets. They had massive amounts of ammunition. They had many, many guns. They had makeshift bombs that involved tennis balls and little boxes that they put the tennis balls in and nails and all types of shrapnel. And they actually underwent a test. So they did a test where they checked out all their weapons and looked at the bombs, and they said, oh, yes, this is going to work great, yes! Now, thankfully, they were busted and they were caught in time, but if they weren't caught in time, there would have been a terrorist attack, and it would have been on the military doing these training exercises. And let's be crystal fucking clear, it would have been because of this specific conspiracy theory. Now, you guys know, I'm not one who is 100% against all conspiracy theories, and I say they're all bullshit because they're not all bullshit. Many conspiracies happen to be true. Operation Northwoods, the Bay of Pigs, the Gulf of Tonkin, the Tuskegee experiments, goes on and on. There are plenty of things that were at one time viewed as fringe. In reality, the fringe people were correct. And as time went by, people went, oh, okay, well, that one they were right about. So I'm a 50-50 guy on conspiracies. My response is always, which conspiracy are you talking about? And let's evaluate the evidence for that specific conspiracy, and then I'll tell you whether or not I think it's real or not. But this is one that is absolutely, positively, 100% incorrect, right up there with fucking FEMA camps, which are totally made up. So, I mean, here, let me just, I want to make this as simple and easy to understand as any other issue we've ever discussed. So for all the people who believe Alex Jones, for example, who's been on this Jade Helm thing since the beginning, for people who believe him about FEMA camps and whatnot, Agenda 21, another one that's totally bullshit. Let me ask you, what the fuck are they waiting for? You know, Alex Jones has been saying the same fucking thing since the 1990s. But, oh my God, the NWO is going to implement one world government, and it's going to be a situation where they force you into FEMA camps, they're going to ban golf courses, they're going to take away your cars. They're going to control every aspect of your life. When it comes to Jade Helm, they're preparing for martial law. The FEMA camps are for martial law. And what the fuck are they waiting for? So first Clinton was going to do it. He didn't do it. Then George Bush was going to do it. Now, George Bush did a lot of fucked up things, a lot of unconstitutional things, and we were all over those things. A lot of American imperialism, you name it, we're against all of that. But he didn't fucking put us in FEMA camps. You said he was going to. He didn't do it. You said with Obama, oh, he's going to do the same thing. Well, what happened? He was elected in 2008. You said he was going to do it then. And then, what, he was waiting for the second election? How could he have been sure that he was going to win it? Oh, he was going to steal the election. But okay, so he won the second election, or stole the second election, if you listen to some of these guys. And then now what's he waiting for? Why are they waiting to implement Agenda 21? Why are they waiting to implement the FEMA camps? And by the way, would the American military really need to take over America by force? America already is America. You don't need to occupy it and take it over. It already happened. So, but they say, oh, the issue is not that they're going to take it over, but the issue is what? It always comes back to they're going to put us in the FEMA camps or one world government's going to be implemented and you're not going to have any sovereignty. But that hasn't happened. That you say that that's what it is, but it hasn't happened. What the fuck are they waiting for? They know where we are. We're right here, man. Again, don't get me wrong. I just admitted to you. I just told you there are some conspiracies that turned out to be true. These ones are not true. But what happens is some people believe them, and when they believe them and they actually act on it because they're not that fucking bright, what happens? We have some attempted terrorist attacks. So what's the point of me doing this segment? The point of me doing this segment is to tell you guys, pump your fucking brakes, dude. Specifically to somebody like Alex Jones, look, man, him and I actually agree on some things. I mean, he's against American imperialism. I'm against American imperialism. He calls himself a libertarian, and in some ways he lives up to that. I think he's spoken about how bad the drug war is and things of that nature. Great, we can agree on that too. I'm sure there's a list of shit where him and I go, I'm with you. NSA, oh, the NSA is spying on everybody, and that's fucked up. I'm with you. But when you start going that extra step and start saying the Bilderberg Rockefeller Illuminatis are fucking children and marrying horses and taking over everybody and everything and Jade Helm is going to take away all your freedoms, what you're doing is you're making an environment where some people who are true believers and true Kool-Aid drinkers will act on it. And then there's going to be people dead, and you're going to say, oh, me? I didn't contribute to this at all. What are you talking about? Same thing with Bill O'Reilly. When he went out there and said, Tiller the baby killer, Tiller the baby killer, Tiller the baby killer 800 times, then somebody murdered George Tiller. And then, well, I didn't do anything. What are you talking about? It's not like I have a TV show with millions of people who watch who are crazy, and then I say Tiller the baby killer and somebody acts. That's not what happened. That's exactly what fucking happened. So for Alex Jones, if you keep going out there and saying shit that's not true about Jade Helm or the Illuminati or Agenda 21 or whatever, and then it leads to shit like this, take some fucking responsibility and pump your brakes and only report on shit that makes sense. So you go out there and talk about the NSA, I'm right with you. You go out there and talk about the warmongering American imperialists, I'm right with you. You go out there and talk about all types of issues and substantive policy solutions, I'm with you. But when you go too far, you destroy the entire message. And unfortunately, that hurts the rest of us who are sane and are able to discern which things that are conspiracies that are true and false. You actually hurt everybody who's fighting against the NSA when you link a fight against NSA spying with, you know, chemicals in juice boxes that make your kids gay. So you're not helping, you're hurting when you go too far. So please, please stop going too far, because I don't want to see more instances of this. I don't want to see people who are doing a fucking military training exercise who've done nothing wrong. I don't want to see them get killed, dumbasses who don't know their ass from their elbow. All right, quick break when we come back. Glenn Beck is back from a mental health break, and he should go back on that mental health break because, goddamn, he's just as dumb as he's always been. All right, stay right there, guys. We'll be right back.
Comes the dark side light, vampires roam. You stretch your ass to All right, we're back, and we got a lot to get to. So let's do it. Glenn Beck is back from a mental health break. Didn't do him much good. He didn't skip a beat with his silly theories here, so here he is talking about Planned Parenthood.
This Cecil the Lion thing, I mean, I really feel bad. And quite honestly, I didn't watch all of the interviews with the dentist or wherever he's, you know, in his bunker now. I didn't really pay that much attention. I just know that he said it was a legal shoot. If it wasn't, then Zimbabwe needs to take care of the poachers. This is not our concern. I was so bothered by the fact that we're crushing skulls with Planned Parenthood. And it was like, yeah, well, you know, whatever. They're actually making the defense, well, those are taken out of context. I don't know how you take crushing skulls out of context. They're not even using the words fetal tissue. They're using liver and heart. Yeah. And they're using it's crazy that an amoeba on Mars is considered life. But I can talk about crushing skulls, and that's definitely not life. And then, on top of it, the outrage, when Jimmy Kimmel cried over Cecil the Lion, I have another monologue for you. that's when it hammered home. I'll talk to you about it at the top of the hour. That's when it really hammered home to me how much trouble we really are in. And it's one of the reasons, quite honestly, that I was totally fine taking my flag down.
So you took down your flag because Planned Parenthood exists and because Cecil the Lion, what, you didn't like the outrage over it? Now, understand, guys, on the Cecil the Lion thing, my beef with it is trophy hunting. I think trophy hunting is fucked up, and there's no reason to do it. You're just standing over a dead thing and going, I killed this. Okay, great. Does it make you feel better about your little dick? I mean, what do you want me to say? That if you're trophy hunting, that's not okay. It's a totally different issue if you're hunting and then you eat the food. That I have no moral beef with whatsoever. And I think that's the main point. I think that's why most people were upset over the Cecil the Lion thing. But yeah, no, like, I get it. If Glenn is concerned with the fact that the backlash has been over the top and this person had to go into hiding and there were threats made, I actually agree that that's unacceptable. You shouldn't fucking threaten a guy's life because of this. He's an asshole. I don't like him. But you got to draw a line, and you got to be reasonable about it. Like PETA said that he should be hung. No, now you look like the idiots. You look like the bad guys because you went too far. You're talking about a human life. You want to take away a human life because a human took away a lion's life. Again, I'm against trophy hunting, but that's not the response. That response doesn't make sense. So, hey, some of the outrage went over the top. I actually agree with Glenn on that. I'm against trophy hunting, but I do think some of the outrage went over the top. And really, everybody who was mad about this, they never had a burger, which is, you know, eating a cow. They never had bacon, which is eating a pig. Pigs are pretty fucking cute. I don't know if you've seen them before. You're not all vegan, so calm down a little bit. Calm down. So I'm actually with them on that. But then when you get to the Planned Parenthood thing, oh, good googly moogly. Glenn, you fell for the propaganda. Did it not occur to you as you're – I watched the videos. Did it not occur to you as you're watching it, hey, it's weird how they have, like, the ominous music in the background. And it's weird how they really quickly cut in and out of different parts of it. That no red flag went off in your head? Well, perhaps it should have. Perhaps it should have. A smart person would say, something looks a little off here. But it didn't for these guys. Why? Because they already go into it. It's confirmation bias. They already go into it going, Planned Parenthood is evil and wrong. And, oh, my God, this proves it. Now, is it fine to walk away from it saying, look, I wouldn't partake in a conversation casually about fetal livers and hearts and act like it's nothing? Sure, you can take that position. I take that position. I wouldn't engage in that casual conversation. But what you have to remember is Planned Parenthood thought they were talking to scientists, to researchers who are trying to cure diseases, and they're talking about donating fetal tissue, and the money discussed is about transportation costs. So to act like they're selling it for profit and this is Nazi Germany stuff, that's just not true. And furthermore, keep in mind 98% of abortions happen before 23 weeks. 90% happen before 12 weeks. So what does that mean? This is very important. This is a key fact when it comes to abortion. What that means is 98% of abortions happen when there is no nervous system developed in the fetus. So the fetus is incapable of feeling pain. So this is not the, you know, something where it's like, oh my God, they're barbaric, they're savage, it's wrong, it's immoral, and this and that. I mean, you can argue that you would like to make it so that the second you're done having sex, the pile of goo counts as a third person, but I don't think that's rational. I don't think that makes sense. I think that that's, ironically, government that's far too big. That's government that's micromanaging what's going on inside of a woman's uterus. I think that's ridiculous to compare an embryo or a zygote or a gamete or a pregestation fetus to an 8-year-old, which is what they're trying to do here. It's disingenuous, and it shows that they're the ones that are actually scientifically illiterate, and they don't know what the fuck's going on here. Again, if you want to take issue with the tone for this reason or that reason, whatever, man, that's fine. But when you go far enough to say, this means we should defund Planned Parenthood, okay, well, now you went too far, and you're the problem here. And you are going to block scientific research that will actually cure diseases. And you think you would actually stop abortions. You wouldn't stop abortions. You'd push them underground. And in a lot of countries where they've banned abortions, there are actually more abortions, but they're black market abortions, and they use hangers and whatnot, and women get infections and oftentimes die. This is according to the Guttmacher Institute. So this has been studied. We know what the effects are, but they don't give a fuck about any of that stuff. See, he thinks he's calling out liberal hypocrisy. Liberals care about lions, but liberals don't care about babies. No, I just explained to you the whole situation with Cecil and how they're mad because it's trophy hunting for the most part. Most of them are on the right page where they're angry because it's trophy hunting. And when it comes to the Planned Parenthood videos, bottom line is they're fake. They're doctored. They're misleading. And people don't understand that there's no profit being made, and we're talking about abortions that are happening where there's no pain involved, and even though it might sound like something that's uncomfortable, also doing any kind of surgery is uncomfortable. You want a doctor casually talking about how he cut into somebody's intestines and had to move aside the fecal matter? No, you don't want to hear about that, right? That's gross. Oh my God, it's inhuman. But it's necessary. It's necessary for us to survive and for us to move forward and for us to get scientific breakthroughs. You might not like the fact that fetal tissue cures diseases, but it does cure diseases. So, you know, what I always find stunning is, as they claim that liberals are the overly emotional ones, they're the overly emotional ones. Okay. All right, let's go on to some religion stuff. Yippee skippy. We have a truly hilarious story coming out of North Carolina today. The Lincoln County Board of Commissioners has always opened government meetings with Christian prayer, and about 2 months ago, officials decided that in order to avoid legal trouble, they'd have to let other religions participate. So for those of you who don't know, the way it works is, well, we have the Constitution and we have the First Amendment, and the idea is you really shouldn't have any government prayer. I mean, in my opinion, my interpretation of the Establishment Clause and the First Amendment and the Constitution is that you can't have government prayer. But what they say is they found this, like, slight loophole where they're like, okay, either you do no prayer, or if you allow the prayer of one kind of religion, you have to allow anybody's prayer of any religion. So this way they make it like, oh, see, it's equal. It represents everybody, and the government is not favoring one religion over another religion. So it's this, like, slick trick that they get away with, unfortunately, in many places. So on Monday, in this place in North Carolina, they had a Muslim prayer. You can imagine how that went. So the chairman, Carol Mitchum, walked out because he was so outraged, and he said, quote, I don't believe we need me to be bowing to the minorities. The U.S. and the Constitution were founded on Christianity. No, it wasn't. We were founded as the first secular nation. You fail! Move along, son. He continues, I don't need no Arab or Muslim or whoever telling me what to do, or us here in the country what to do about praying. If they don't like it, stay the hell away! We're fighting Muslims every day. All right, let's just pause here, man. Look at the fucking ignorance just dripping from this guy's pores.
I thought conservatives always tell me that when they criticize Muslims, they're not criticizing all Muslims. They're just saying, hey, the radical ones are the ones that we are mad about. Well, this guy's saying right here, we're fighting Muslims every day. We're fighting Muslims every day. So you can't allow a Muslim prayer. Why would we allow Christian prayer if we can't allow Muslim prayer? That's my religion. Oh, so it's just me. Whatever I want goes, wherever they want does not go. But look, he's angry, and he's saying, why would we say their prayer when we are fighting them? In other words, they're all guilty. We're fighting Muslims, not fundamentalist Muslims, not ISIS, not Al-Qaeda, fighting Muslims. Okay, he continues. If they don't like it, stay the hell away. We're fighting Muslims. I'm not saying they're all bad, except you just did. They believe in a different God than I do. If that's what they want to do, that's fine. But they don't need to be telling us as Christians what we need to be doing. They don't need to be rubbing our faces in it. All right, look at the irony. Apart from the stupidity, look at the irony. He's like, oh, the problem is the fucking Muslims are rubbing our face in it because they want to say the prayer at the government. Oh, gross. Well, now you know how we fucking feel as non-believers when you take your Christian prayer and rub it in our faces, you asshole. But see, he thinks, but I'm the good guy, so whatever I want is good. But there are people who don't agree with you. God, it's so amazing. Now, here's the best part. You ready for this? Raw Story explains. Quote, by the end of the meeting, the same day, by the end of the meeting where they had the Muslim prayer, all prayer was banned at board meetings and will be replaced with a moment of silence. Commissioner Alex Patton initiated the motion, which was easily voted into effect. Oh, my God, I love that. I love that so much. All it takes to get dumbass Christians to believe in separation of church and state is to have the Muslims demand the same kind of treatment that the Christians get. So all that happens is the Muslims go, look, I just want the same kind of respect that these Christians get in America, in the southern red states in America. They have to allow it because we have a constitution, so what happens? When they actually get the equal treatment of Christians, said a Christian prayer, okay, now we're going to say a Muslim prayer. What happens? All of a sudden the Christians are like, separation of church and state. Don't we have that this First Amendment thing that says that you can't mix the government and the state and the church and the state, I mean, shouldn't we keep all religion and state apart? I mean, come on, guys, don't get radical here. What are we talking about? Oh, they're so fucking hilarious and helplessly stupid. They're just so hilarious and helplessly stupid. So it turns out what they meant all along is Christian theocracy. We want to marry religion and state together, but only if it's a Christian theocracy. And if any other fucking religion wants to get the same treatment that we get, well, then I'm going to blow up the game and stop playing. But now I love separating the church and state. So actually, I mean, look, in all seriousness, all secular people in America should now want Muslims to say a prayer at the beginning of different government meetings all around the country. Why? Because, I mean, I would guess the same reaction would happen in many different places where Republicans would finally go, oh, you know, I actually do like separation of church and state because I'm not so sure I like these Muslims saying these prayers. I mean, I'm a little creeped out by that. Hilarious, hilarious. They'll never fucking learn, man. They'll never learn. Okay. All right, now we're going to go to WorldNet Daily, and we're going to have a hell of a lot of fun. WorldNet Daily is, without question, the dumbest of all of the right-wing websites. So it's this weird cocktail of standard conservative BS that you get anywhere else, including places like Fox News. It's a mix of that conspiracy theory and a heaping dose of religious fundamentalism on top of it. And then every pet issue you can imagine. Sprinkle in some racism here and there, sprinkle in some anti-gay hatred, you name it. I've honestly gone to this website. I used to go to it when I prepared for the show just to see what kind of fucking nonsense are they spewing out today. So they've really provided much entertainment over the years. And they did not disappoint this week either. So Obama went to Kenya, and the people at WorldNet Daily think that a demon may have followed him there and revealed himself when Obama landed. Because, you know, the way demons work is they can't ever just say, I'm a demon, and this is what I'm doing here. Let me be clear and explain it. No, demons have to, ooh, a split second of something happened. Demon. So I want to give you some of the article here. They say, he's the U.S. president who has had flies land on his face numerous times, prompting some to call him Lord of the Flies. And he has been buzzed by bees. And he has had rodents running across his podium while addressing reporters. What the fuck? His face has even been compared to the character of Satan, the devil, in the Bible TV miniseries. All right, let's pause here. I love the things that they think are, you know, constitute evidence to say Obama's either a demon or he's evil or he's possessed or whatever it is. They're like, well, there was that time a fly landed on him. Oh, irrefutable proof. And, I mean, come on, guys, in that TV miniseries, The Bible, the character that was the Antichrist kind of looked like Obama. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's not that whoever worked on creating the miniseries might be a conservative asshat and casted somebody to look like Obama, or that it's a coincidence. Couldn't be that. No, it has to be, ooh, it's evidence that the devil, the supernatural is at work here, and the devil picked somebody to be in the series to look like Obama but more evil, and he's hinting that Obama really is the Antichrist or something like that. It's funny. Again, I don't understand why the devil always works in such incredibly obscure, vague ways. Why not just say, I'm the devil, I'm supernatural, I can do whatever the fuck I want, and here's what I'm doing. No, it always has to be like, ooh, a little hint. And you have to run with it with your imagination and make shit up. It can't just be straightforward. Maybe he can't be straightforward because he doesn't fucking exist. You children. I'm sorry. Let me collect myself here and continue. They say, and now, a mysterious flash during Barack Obama's visit to his ancestral homeland of Kenya last month has some people wondering once again about the president's ties to strange phenomena. Of course, there's a variety of possible explanations for the mystery figure, including a camera flash, a reflection, an out-of-focus person, a boom microphone, a bird, an insect, a glitch in the video, or the always popular optical illusion. A video editor who examined the footage told WorldNet Daily, from a video editor's standpoint, it could be some sort of glitch. However, there doesn't seem to be any logical reason as to why this glitch would appear, as the rest of the video seems to be functioning fine. The image does look like some otherworldly being, but I'm sure everyone's own imagination will conjure up what they would like it to be. I find that hilarious because it's almost like an admission at the end, like, yeah, we may be making all this up. And they give you a list of all totally plausible things. Like, yeah, it could be a boom microphone, a little glitch in the video. It could be an out-of-focus person, a bird. They give a trillion things. They're like, no, but maybe it also is a demon. I'm pretty sure I'm going to go ahead and rule demon out. But, hey, I'll let you guys decide for yourself. Take a look at the video. Good googly moogly, it is a demon. What's sad is that some people read that article, saw that clip, and went, aha! We fucking got him. Arrest him. How many times do we have to tell you guys? It's not like liberals and Democrats and progressives are, oh, we're so evil that we drop little hints here and there that we're actually demon-possessed. No, it's not that at all. Or maybe it is. All right, you guys will see that later on YouTube in editing. It'll look a lot funnier than it just sounded. I plan to splice in, like, a picture of a demon while I'm talking. So maybe I'm demon-possessed. Ha-ha! Lock me up. All right, let me rush here because I'm running out of time. Three people were murdered in Florida on July 28th. The victims were a mother and her two adult sons. I think the mother was about 70 years old and the kids were in their 40s. The International Business Times says the following. The three individuals died of blunt force trauma. All three were hit with a claw hammer and were found with their throats slit. One had a gunshot in their neck as well. The Escambia County Sheriff said the man suspected of the murders was known to have practiced witchcraft. There was a rare blue moon that night, and witchcraft attacks are apparently
common whenever there's a blue moon. And there's a certain percentage of the population that really believes in this stuff. And they believe in witchcraft, they believe in voodoo, they believe in sorcery. And it's so sad. It's just so sad to read this story, because oftentimes what do? We go after Saudi Arabia, for example, ruthlessly, because they behead people who are atheists, who do drug smuggling, but also people who are apostates and sorcerers, witchcraft. They do witchcraft. Ah, you got to behead them because of this. And what do we say? We go, look at these fucking clowns, primitive. Stuff like this would never happen in America. Kind of just did. Now, obviously, the difference is over there it's institutionalized. Like, it's on the books. Like, yeah, here, no, it's, I'll read you the law. It says we kill people for sorcery. That's an extra layer of stupid. It is, because it's not like in the Florida government. They're like, okay, witchcraft clause, section 17C. No, it's just a bunch of idiots who have no power, but who really believe it, and then they do the horrible acts. But either way, it is grotesque, and I feel obligated every time I read a story like this to come out and tell the world, even though all you guys know it because you're my audience, but it's not real! Can you please start believing in things that are evidence-based and only evidence-based? You can make up whatever the fuck you want to make up, but it's not, that doesn't make it true! And this goes for everything. See, the sad thing is, beliefs like this are just the cousin of religious ideologies, specifically religious fundamentalist ideologies. You know, if you really believe some of the most backwards parts of the Bible, you would believe the earth is flat, you would believe seven-headed dragons exist, and you believe you should kill people when they're gay, and you should kill people when they get divorced or something like that. All these different things, there's amazingly immoral beliefs that are in a book that claim to be holy that you can't argue against. When it comes to the Quran, how many passages are there about killing the infidel? I mean, there are some people who are going to read it and only read the bad parts and go, oh, I'm going to act on this today. So whether it's witchcraft or those religious fundamentalist ideologies, look at all the fucking damage it does in the world because people want to believe their superstitions wholeheartedly. No, be skeptical. Question everything. Because if you're not, if you don't have a healthy dose of skepticism and you're not using your brain on a regular basis, could end up in a situation like this. And usually it's a cocktail of reasons as to what ultimately leads to an act like this. It's probably, there's might be a little bit of depression, might be a little bit of craziness, might be other factors that are involved in it. Each case is different. It could be to a certain extent poverty or, you know, political reasons or whatever. But there's no denying the link between the backwards ideology and the fundamentally untrue belief and the actions. And that goes for religious fundamentalism and for people who believe in witchcraft. It's not real. Grow up. I'm going to skip ahead. I'll save the Pope Francis story for the end. I don't even know if I'll be able to squeeze it in, but I want to do the alcohol story first. Vice is reporting that a 110-year-old New Jersey woman named Agnes Fenton shared what she called her secret to longevity, and it's awesome. Quote, her secret is 3 Miller High Lifes and a shot of Johnny Walker Blue Label each day. Fenton said she did that every day for more than 70 years. I love this woman. So Fenton apparently claims that a doctor told her to start drinking Miller High Lifes when Fenton was diagnosed with a benign brain tumor years ago. And she said there's an abundance of evidence that alcohol, when consumed in moderation, helps ward off heart disease and some other issues. Now, understand, I look at, you know, studies or claims about alcohol the same way I look at studies and claims about coffee, for example, where one day there's a study that says, oh, it's good for you, yeah. And the next day it's like, oh, my God, it kills you and rapes your grandma. So you got to take these things with a grain of salt, and you got to be skeptical, and you got to understand that it's an ever-evolving thing. And unfortunately, I don't know if we'll ever have a total concrete answer as to the effects that these things have. But what I take away from this article is, very simply, something I've advocated for all along, moderation. I'm certainly not in the crowd that says, you know, being sober all the time is preferable. No, I actually think that can be worse for you because I don't think you get nearly as much stress relief as somebody who recreationally uses drugs. And I'm more liberal on this point than many other people where I'm not discriminating against the kind of drug that you use. I mean, there are some that are objectively really fucking horrible for you, like crocodile and crystal meth. But as you guys know, I've argued that those drugs only exist because we've banned the less dangerous drugs that give you similar highs. So that's why people are creating crystal meth, because they can't go to the store and buy some cocaine. That's why people are doing crocodile, because they can't buy opiate pills, which will give you a similar high and won't melt off your flesh. It doesn't mean nobody can get addicted to it. That doesn't mean there aren't some serious problems that go hand in hand with it. Of course there is. Some percentage of the society is going to get addicted, and they could ruin their life with it, of course. But I think we should view it the same way we view alcohol. We don't want to ban alcohol because 10% of alcohol drinkers are alcoholics and they have trouble with it. No, we all have a live and let live freedom view when it comes to alcohol. Hey, I'm not going to stop moderately drinking because Dave down the street can't get his shit together. I just want to have that view for all the different drugs in society. And again, I think it's relatively healthy. I mean, if you're somebody who blows off some steam by having, like she does, hey, 3 beers and a shot every day, hey, good for you, man. If you're somebody who smokes marijuana, I've had people reach out to me who are listeners to the show who say, look, no other drugs could stop my depression or could stop whatever psychological issue they had, so I smoke weed 2 or 3 times a day. Space it out, and hey, lo and behold, it's medicine. I'm cured. I'm happy. I'm functional now. I say, great, good for you, man. Somebody says, hey, I'm on antidepressants. They saved my life. Again, good for you. I'm not judging you. I think that's great. I think that as long as you have it under control, as long as you are able to function in society and you're happier as a result of using any given substance, that's what freedom is about. That's what freedom is about, and tweaking your consciousness is something that every society has done throughout history. So I think the really extreme position is the opposite. The really extreme position is the person who's sober all the fucking time, and then guess what happens to that person? Sometimes. They drop dead at the age of 54 from all the fucking stress because they sit there at home at night like this. Too stressed out. So everybody relax, calm down, moderate use is okay. Just know your limits and be smart about it. Out of time, guys. We'll save Pope Francis for tomorrow. Love you. Kisses. We'll see you then. Peace.